Hello, my name is Chris Brown from Online Business Radio. The global financial crisis has seen corporate governance emerge universally as an issue of vital importance. What now are the public expectations of our boardroom leaders, and how have governments around the world reacted? On the line to tell us is Richard LeBlanc, Associate Professor, Law, Governance and Ethics at York University. Richard, shareholders are no longer the trusting souls they may have been in the past. How have their attitudes changed to corporate governance?
Well, shareholders are not completely blameless for what has happened in the financial crisis. The United Kingdom just announced a commission to look into short-termism by shareholders and whether that has an influence on corporate governance, the earnings management and expectations and pressure on corporations for quarterly returns. Although in fairness, shareholders have been frustrated because, I mean, I teach my law students that shareholders elect boards of directors, but they really don't for all intents and purposes. So what the Securities and Exchange Commission recently came out and said is that we will have proxy access, which means that if you own 3% of a company for a three-year period, you can elect up to 25% of the board of directors. And corporate governance up until the financial crisis really has been largely self-serving, where management and the board select the directors, but shareholders are really shut out of the process. So what the securities regulators in the U.S. are now trying to do is to enable shareholders to have a greater voice in the selection of individual directors.
Has there been a change, though, in shareholders' attitude to risk when investing in these companies? And is that being reflected at board level as well? Has there been a shift in risk attitude?
Yes and no. I mean, shareholders really want performance, but risk is an area where the regulation after the financial crisis is beginning to focus on particularly risk-adjusted compensation. And we know the boards of significant financial institutions were approving risks of complex derivatives that they didn't really understand. So the regulators internationally are now requiring financial institutions to have robust risk detection, management, assessment processes, and particularly have risk-adjusted compensations. So what we're seeing now is the intersection of compensation and risk at boards of directors levels, so that all material risks of an institution, and this is not just banking, but this is any type of institution, should be appropriately assured by internal and external assurance providers and factored into compensation. So compensation for executives should not occur until the achievement and the risk tails have leveled off. So what I'm seeing is the beginnings of spreading compensation and medium and long-term equity over a period of years. So it should not be possible for executives to bonus out within a year or two.
Is that regulation also looking at competence, board selection, board skills?
Yes. Up until the crisis, for example, in the U.S., you did not have to have the linkage between competencies and individual directors sitting on banking boards. So the focus was almost exclusively on independence. So what the result of that was is that you had directors of unrelated industries sitting on banking boards that really lacked the knowledge of the industry and the types of attributes, including the ability to ask tough questions, the ability to contribute effectively, to understand the industry, to have specific functional skills suited for that industry. And now the Securities and Exchange Commission changed their rule. It also cited my work, which was flattering, but it changed their rule to have the disclosure of all prospective and current directors, the disclosure of their qualifications, skills, and experiences. So what we hope we will see from an academic and also from a policy point of view is more of an alignment between the competencies and behavioral attributes of individual directors suited to that specific board and industry. But that did not happen up until the financial crisis. So the U.S. and U.K. and other countries have begun to change their legislation to have more of an alignment of the competencies of directors and the business.
What about the makeup of boards, particularly gender diversity? Is there an increased concentration on gender diversity post-GFC? And if so, how is that being approached around the world?
Well, a number of regulators are focusing on this issue because there's academic evidence to suggest that more diverse boards engage in less groupthink and are more innovative and perhaps make more effective decisions with 2, 3, 4 women and cultural background and ethnic diversity on the board. So regulators, including in the U.S., in Europe, in Quebec, Canada, in Australia as well, are beginning to focus on the disclosure of diversity practices, both at the board level and at senior management level. So the thinking there is to marry the empirical research with the frustration that groups have because their boards are seen as homogenous and self-selecting. So if there's empirical evidence to suggest that competencies matter, and in particular diverse boards make better decisions, then regulators are beginning to change regulations. For example, in the U.S., recent changes require all listed companies in the United States to disclose their diversity plans. And in Australia, they've actually gone ahead and defined diversity to include gender, age, ethnicity, and cultural background. So the thinking is that more diverse boards are better able to oversee management, and regulators are beginning to focus on this after the global financial crisis.
Historically, boards have been examined once a year at the AGM. Is there any other thinking about how to evaluate the performance of a board beyond an AGM, post-GFC?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. There's a movement to having independent audits of the board, not unlike, for example, an external auditor. So the notion that board evaluations should occur only inside the company, and what ends up happening there is management ends up facilitating the evaluation. So the management is accountable to the board, and management really should not be driving the board evaluation. It should be the board, but the boards are limited in terms of their access to resources and things of that nature. So there's a requirement now. In fact, this is a regulatory requirement in some areas that you have to have an external board review every 2 or 3 years because it's thought that that will bring objectivity and independence to the board evaluation. The other thing is shareholder engagement. You mentioned the AGM, and you're quite right. This should not be an annual event where shareholders don't really have influence, but there's a focus now on engagement, on continual engagement, particularly between the board and shareholders, not management and shareholders, and having an ability to influence the selection of directors as a shareholder.
Richard, how has the global financial crisis compared to other recent major events in the corporate world?
I think the difference between the global financial crisis and what has happened with Enron and Sarbanes-Oxley and WorldCom in 2002 is that largely was a discrete event that was, for the most part, restricted to shareholders and employees and pensioners of Enron and WorldCom. The difference with this event is that governments have spent billions of dollars bailing out significant financial institutions, and the cost to homeowners and to taxpayers has been very significant. So this crisis is far more pervasive. And in my analysis of the changes to the regulations over the last 6 to 12 months, and I think I had reviewed 57 codes across the world, this is a game changer. This is something I have not seen in my lifetime, in fact, probably since the Great Depression. The magnitude of change that will occur, particularly coming out of Washington over the next 2 years, the rulemaking authority that the Securities and Exchange Commission now has, and the infamous Dodd-Frank bill is far, far, far more significant than Sarbanes-Oxley ever was. There was a recent commentator that said that Sarbanes-Oxley was kindergarten compared to the change that will occur globally in the next year or two. And I think that that's causing a lot of concern for corporate directors because they know that it's a moving target and the rules of the road are never going to be the same.
Richard LeBlanc, Associate Professor, Law, Governance and Ethics at York University. My name is Chris Brown from Online Business Radio.